Looking at the snow, I should probably make this a really short sermon, but I won't. No excuses. Today's the Sunday after Christmas. And now usually we have a few days that pass prior to hearing this gospel reading. But today, we hear of a sobering message. The joy of Christ's birth will reside in our hearts, not only today, not only yesterday, but for all of our lives. But today's gospel reading gives us a sober message that all isn't always joyful, all isn't always peaceful, and days come that are not safe, but are threatening. In Bethlehem, death was coming to every male child under 2 years of age. And an angel gives Joseph, the betrothed, this message in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee. They fled to Egypt where there was safety. And also be reminded that in Egypt there were many, many communities of Jews who escaped during the fall of Jerusalem, but yet never returned to Judea and Jerusalem. Herod had his rage, he had his anger, and filled with evil, he slaughtered the 14,000 holy innocents whose death we celebrate and commemorate on the 29th. And again, we will hear Rachel's words, the lament, where she cannot be comforted because the children are no more. Then, after some time in Egypt, Herod the Great dies, and the same angel appears again in a dream to Joseph. He is informed that those who were seeking the life of the child have died. He returns, he journeys back, but he learns of the cruel despot Archelaus ruled over Judea. This man was so cruel that Caesar Augustus deposed him in 6 AD and sent him into exile. Thus, in another dream, to protect the life of Jesus and his mother, and to fulfill the prophecy, they settle in Nazareth in Galilee. Now, Nazareth and Galilee were not well respected. I guess they would be called flyover territory. Well, that didn't get much notice from the power elite of Judea. But in there, while residing in Nazareth, in that region of low esteem, Jesus grows from childhood to adulthood. Here he learns the faith in its synagogue. Here with his father, foster father or stepfather, and his brothers, stepbrothers, he learns his craft and trade. Here he cares for his mother after Joseph's death. And in lowly Nazareth, he is found and lives in safety and in life. Today we have multiple Herods in our day. There are others like Archelaus, despotically ruling over masses today. They pose real and serious threats to the lives of those they tyrannically govern by decree, even the lives of the Christian faithful. Saint John Chrysostom writes this, "Therefore we have no country, no state, no capital," "Why do you pride yourself on your country when I am commanding you to be a stranger to the whole world? Therefore, we have no country, we have no state, we have no capital into which we can find true security, safety, and liberty. In this world and in this day, there is no guarantee of political security or stability anywhere on this planet." And thus, we have our day. I've been recently reading a book, actually it's a long book of collected essays, written by the Czech dissident Václav Havel, called The Power of the Powerless. And I think it speaks profoundly to our day. And I urge you, if you have the time and you can remember this, go online and read Charter 77. Not Chapter 77, but Charter 77. It speaks of the Czech-Slovak communist government ruling over the people of the day in the 1970s, in the mid-1970s. This document was published, or written, in December of 1976, and then published in January of 1977. Thus, it's called Charter 77. And following its publication, Havel begins to write, in 1978, The Power of the Powerless. In this group of essays, about a quarter of the way through, he introduces a character in Prague, a character in any city or community in Czechoslovakia of the day. The shopkeeper puts up a sign that is mandatory, all these slogans that are put up by the, as commanded by the communist government, and it said, "Workers of the world unite." Well, how cliche, right? Because nobody believed it. They were through with it. They were done with it. They already had the Prague Spring of 1968 when they tried to throw off the shackles of communist Soviet Union. But the tanks rolled in and was put down, and they were put under the yoke of communism again. So Havel goes on saying that, why does he do this? Why does he put up this sign that he doesn't believe in anymore? He did it to get along, so that he could have his vacation, that he could have freedom of movement in this day, so that he could take trips, so that his children could become educated, and so that he could live his life in peace. But Havel goes on and he asks, what if someday the shopkeeper woke up and realized the lie that was before him? And he changed, and he counted the cost, and he began to associate with people who were of like-minded, who saw the lie, who wanted to live in truth, no matter what the cost. A loss of job, no education for his children, no wonderful vacations into some sunny area in the Soviet-occupied area. But we have to ask ourselves, how are we going to live in these days when we have Herods and Archelauses all around us? What will we do? Will we cower as fearful mice when they come to get us, when they come to put a yoke on us, when they may even try to close the doors of this parish and every parish in this country? What will we do? We have to count the cost. And we may have to wake up from that dream as the shopkeeper did. Now I read this because St. James was mentioned today. I read this from his epistle, the fourth chapter. Unfaithful creatures, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You got to love James. He doesn't mince any words, does he? He lays it right out there and speaks right to my heart and right to your hearts, all of our hearts. Now, I think in this day, and one of the lies that is put forward by all of the Western culture is an economy run by consumer debt. We have abundance. We may have too much. And with this, I'm called back to mind the parable of the sower and the seed. Now, I think we have to be honest. We have the four soils. They're the variables. But each one of us can have all different types of soil within our hearts at any given time. And what troubles me and what worries me and what speaks to me, because I know my weakness as I live in this culture of ease and plenty, that I fear and possibly know that I have thorns, that I have a soil of thorns. What do those thorns do? Those thorns are the cares and the pleasures of this world. And what do? They choke out the true plant, the true grain, and it's not able to wholly and completely yield its fruit. So it's worthless. So in these days and in these times that we are living in, and in the lies that are put upon us and upon our society, we have to be ready. We have to be ready for someday this may happen. Now, James can be rather harsh, rather blunt, but he also gives us this. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In all the days that we have before us, good, bad, joyful, if we draw near to God, he's going to uproot those thorns in us. And he's going to take care of the soil of our heart so that we may stand true, that we may be able to enter into the day of his return and be welcomed as good and faithful servants. Christ is born. Amen.